Guys on the Drilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios in Grand Rapids. We're going to talk some steak, my favorite protein on the grill, bar none. I've got my ideas on how I like them and what I need to do to it before it hits the fire, but we're going to cover a bunch of that. What are you thinking, Bob?
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. It is the smokiest show on the radio, Jop, and we appreciate all 12 people that listen.
Mm-hmm. Both couples and all their kids.
And all my cousins.
Right.
No, we do appreciate you taking time. We are on great stations all around Michigan and WOND in Atlantic City, New Jersey. So if this station you're listening to is playing this, they love you. Because it's not easy bringing us into It's not easy bringing us into your home.
Hey, you know, if you want to share it with your friends, you can always get the podcast.
That's right. That voice you just heard is the baritone of beer, Chaz Thompson from Schmoe's Brewery, joining us in the studio today. Chaz has a big role in the Grilling Guys in that he also functions as our webmaster. So if you want to pick our show up on a podcast or you want to tune in through the that thing called the World Wide Web,
thanks, Al Gore.
Then you can credit Chaz for setting us up because he's handling all our tech.
I know Chaz has some steak favorites because all brewers are really good at preparing barbecue and meat, in particular the proteins. Cooking in general, I'd say, but brewers tend to have an affinity for meat, and I know Chaz likes a good steak.
I love a great steak. I was over to Sobeys the other day, and I'm drooling at the case, and I'm on a sales call trying to sell beer. But it was – there were just such great selections there. And recently, I've been ribeye lately. That's been my go-to.
It's not a hard choice.
But I've been kind of flipping it around and trying to do the reverse sear on it more.
Okay.
Take the time to do that.
Explain that.
I'm going to go and use some indirect heat, probably even some smoke, to warm that steak up. And I'm going to try and get that steak warmed up over to the side, off of there. I'm not going for the grill marks or anything, to get its internal temperature up to about 130.
Okay.
It's about where I'm targeting. Then I'm going to crank the other side of my grill up. Now, I got some real estate on my grill. I've got a big Genesis 600 series, or Summit 600 series, Weber. So I can crank the fire up and cause a little global warming on the one side.
So a 600, is that six burners?
Six main burners plus a smoker burner and a rotisserie burner.
Yeah, that's right. That's a nice grill.
Yeah, and I bought the stainless natural.
Made in America.
And it's just awesome because I've got so much real estate, I can do those things of a little, you know, indirect heat. And by bringing it up there a little bit slower, you know, bringing it up to temperature, I'm going to get a little better breakdown on the fat.
Right.
Soften it up. So you're not going to get quite that burnt gristly on the edges, but you're going to get some soft, succulent.
All the flavor.
Wonderful meat.
All the flavors in the fat, baby.
And just a soft rub with it to pair up with a great beer.
Right. Right. So that thing is, how do you know when it's 130?
I got my thermal pen.
Right.
A digital good buddy of mine hooked me up with a thermal pen.
Digital thermometer, the very first item you should have. After you buy the grill,
thank you.
Digital thermometer.
I was thinking the grill might
You might want a set of tongs,
chicken
too.
Chicken and the eggs.
No, but I'm serious. I can throw the meat on with my hand, but you can't check the temperature with your hand. You need a digital thermometer.
You can. Because, it's just painful.
Right. Because if you go to 140 or 150, you're not going to like your result if you're a medium to a medium rare guy. Right?
Yeah. You don't want to dry it out. You want to just get that going. It also got opportunity for a little smoke in there because I can throw some chips over the side.
So you're using your thermal pen for your steak?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. I do too.
Hey,
I mean,
you can go by feel if
you understand your grill, like you do and I do. You know what your grill does. You can do it with a touch of the tongs, and you can know if it's the give that a piece of meat has, if it's done to your liking. But if you're not that familiar, or your grill's got hot spots like a lot of lesser grills do, then a thermopen is the way to go.
Another thing I really like about the reverse sear is that I can put some things in my steak rub that normally are just going to burn up. But with that indirect slow heat, they're going to have time to meld in and get some flavor going.
I'd have to say I never use a thermal pen on steaks. I'll use them on chicken, and I'll use them on butts and briskets.
Yep.
But steaks are, you know,
inch and a half.
Yeah, just
well, you got a feel for it. I mean, you've done thousands of them, so you get it. But I'm with Chaz that if because I often have people that the ladies want it more well done than I like to serve it, right? And that's where I'm trying to not ruin it, get it to where they'll like it. That's where I need the pen. That medium to medium rare steak that I cook every time for me, I don't need a ThermoPen for that.
Right.
But I need it for when I got to take it further, that I don't take it too far because that's out of my game. I don't ever go there. But you do if you've got a guest that says I'm on it medium well.
Well, like, you know what? Hey, whatever works for you.
Right.
And everybody develops their own routines when you're on the grill. I mean, the main thing is that you're making the meat the way you want it. And when it comes to a steak, you're right. If it's a really nice steak, you might be paying $15 a pound for it.
Sure. Sure.
20.
Absolutely.
If it's a tenderloin.
You know, yeah, you get tenderloin or you I'm a big porterhouse guy, which is a T-bone and a porterhouse, our sister and brother. It's just further down the loin when you get to that T-bone. You're at the top of the loin. You get the porterhouse because that loin's a little bit bigger. It's the same cut. My favorite because I have dogs, right? So I get a steak for Michelle and I, right? That's two steaks. We got two dogs. They get two bones. Life's good at my house.
So have you bought any loins recently and put them in that aging machine?
I do not have anything in the
steak time machine.
No, I don't have anything in there, and I should.
What up with that?
Well, here's the deal: is my buddy Bob doesn't invite me over to bring steaks so much anymore.
Gosh.
So I have to.
I'm going to start inviting Randy over.
You're too lazy to age some steaks, and it's my fault. I get it. So Jop bought this device.
It's a steak ager.
Yeah, it's an ager.
And all it does is it dry ages meat. And I've got a little, well, I call them dorm refrigerators, but it's the small little half-height refrigerator. And I have that specifically for that purpose. And there's a little dehydrating machine. It puts air and blue light
on it. You want to keep that in your garage.
Right. And I keep it in my garage. It's in a refrigerator.
It's going to off-gas. Right?
Right. Yep. But the bottom line is you buy a whole loin. It'll take 2 9-inch pieces in this little device. And you turn it on and let it go, no seasoning, no anything, for 30 days. You let this thing just blow air and this blue light, because the blue light kills the mold, right? And what you're doing is you're drying the moisture out of this and intensifying the flavors. It's dry-aged steak. You go to any great steakhouse around, they'll serve dry-aged meat, and it's about 40% more only because you're losing about that much of the weight in water as you're drying this thing out. Now, drying doesn't normally sound like a good thing for steak, but in this case, it intensifies the flavors and it's amazing.
It tenderizes it.
It's amazing.
Well, yeah, the enzymes are going to keep going in it.
Right. Yeah. And that's exactly what happens. And it breaks it down. It becomes fork tender, right? And you cook one of those, you don't want to cook them nearly as long because they'll dry out, but you don't need to either. It's amazing. But try it sometime if you've got. It's called the Steak Ager.
I'd love to try it. .com.
Yeah,
I have a bunch of extra refrigerators. Seriously, I'd like to go to Sobeys, buy a loin, and try that thing.
Yep, it's in there absolutely. But coming up next, whether it's flat iron, sirloin, and if you want some Bernays, Bob is going to tell you how to do it. So stick with us. We'll be back.